Eric LaSalle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Joining us on the line here at PMP Network is Eric LaSalle. You know him and love him as Dr. Peter Benton on the critically acclaimed and history-making medical drama ER. He's now an author. And we're going to talk to you about the book in just a minute, but before we do that, Eric, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions that some of our readers and listeners sent in. So let's go right to San Diego with Larry Rosoff, who wants to know how much fun it was to work with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall in Coming to America. Any good stories?
Yeah, that was my first big break, and the experience, was something that was, to see these guys on set just clowning around, and you're this young actor, Eddie was a legend. So it was really, really a lot of fun. And, it was, again, like I said, my first big one, so that was a good one to be a part of. So,
yeah.
It's always going to be considered one of the highlights of my career.
Was the set as much fun as it looked to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you have that, John Landis, the director, of course, who has done so many great comedies, just really created this fascinating world, and a lot of times you would walk on these sets that were larger than life, how he shot it, and I just thought it was a great opportunity for a young actor at that time.
Well, I enjoyed your work in that and your hairstyle as well.
Thank you very much.
Lisa from Florida asks, what was it like to work with George Clooney and the rest of the ER bunch?
Well, that was such a very impressionable time, and I think we were all sort of coming into our own at the same time. George had more experience on television than the rest of us. He sort of became the unofficial leader in a lot of ways, just of bringing that experience. But we were a very close-knit group, it became sort of this insulated group in the beginning, because we were spending 15 hours a day, 16 hours a day shooting. So before we knew the show was a success, because we were spending so much time on set, we really just had each other. And then all of a sudden, the press started blowing everything up. But it was a really, really good time creating that surrogate family.
When things like that happen, though, when you grow together as a unit, and many TV shows, some people become huge stars, and others don't, and there's jealousy and set, and people competing for money and things like that. Was that a problem on ER?
No. I mean, look, we were on a hugely successful. We were all successful, It was and everybody was just basically trying to figure it out on their own of how it was changing their lives, and we had each other. I think we relied on each other a lot of times in that process, because your life was literally, I'm not going to say changing overnight, because it took years to get there and then months of that process. But in some ways it did feel like your life, every day, your life was changing. And fortunately you had a good unit to lean on.
What was it like, though, for you in terms of your life changing? You talk about, Coming to America in 1988, the breakout film. You were only 26 years old at the time. What was it like to all of a sudden be recognized by people?
Well, I think there are bonuses and minuses. I think I'm a pretty private person, I think making that adjustment where, you could be out having dinner and, the public at that point feels, particularly I think with TV actors, because you're already in their home, I think people kind of feel this accessibility, they have you or they own you, And so it always depends on how a person handles it. Some people come up to you and they're so gracious and they just make you feel so good about what you do. And then, of course, some people are more invasive and rude. So you find the balance, and you let the good outweigh the bad. But it definitely is a change, and you just have to adjust to it.
Now we got a letter here from Sue, and she is, I'm looking to read about it. It says New Jersey, says that she was a big, huge fan of 24, and loved your portrayal of the Surgeon General on the show.
Well,
the Secretary General, I think she said. Yeah.
With 24 was one of my favorite shows, and so as they were closing down, I had the opportunity to go on and do the last two episodes. And so I just, you know, when I direct or act, it's always great to do it for a show that you watch and that you have been invested in many ways. And so, you know, it was a nice little sense of closure. Like, you know, I never missed an episode. I watched it for all the years that it was on and, you know, loved it and was one of the first people that really, really was just, like, singing its praises and turned so many of my friends onto it. So it was, you know, sort of came full circle where I had an opportunity to say goodbye to the show by being on it. And so that was a great, you know, it was a really, really good experience.
Do you have any preference for directing over acting or acting over directing?
I love what I do. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, people ask me that all the time, and I guess the best analogy I can give or comparison is really, do you love one child over the other? You know what I mean? It's, you know, if you have children, it's just like, and that's what this is for me. It's like when I'm directing, I am passionately in love and with the craft, and when I'm acting, the same thing, and also now with writing, you know. So I love what I do, and I'm blessed to do what I do.
That brings us to our next question from John in Wisconsin. How long have you been writing?
I finished this novel about a year ago, technically, and then, you know, had rewrites and, you know, go through the whole agent thing and the, you know, submission, et cetera. So, you know, so I started a little while ago, and then I'm into the second one now, because this is going to be a piece. So, I mean, before that, I've written screenplays, but as far as, you know, writing novels, I'm relatively new to the game, because it's only been, you know, the last year and a half or so that I've really, really been in this world.
Now, the book is an interesting subject, and especially around here in Boston, where we had our clergy situation here with the Catholic Church and molestation. It's an interesting novel. It's about a city that's clergy comes under attack, and there's a serial killer after them. So it's very interesting, very well written, and kind of gross at times reading it, but that's the way it's written.
Well, you know, it's reminiscent of the movie Seven. It's, you know, you have a serial killer who's targeting clergy, which we then come to find out that, you know, the clergy are guilty of various crimes. Obviously, molestation is a big part of it, but other crimes as well. And as in Seven, you have a serial killer who's preaching his own sermon through his killings. And the killings, the reason that the killings are so gross is they're actually biblically inspired, because the martyrs, Jesus' disciples, there were more than 12, but Jesus' disciples were all brutally murdered and just heinous in various ways. They were crucified, they were speared, they were stoned, they were dragged through the streets. And so he's emulating the killing of the apostles with these clergy. So that's why it's so, because the Bible is the greatest story ever told, you know what I mean? So he's emulating this. He comes out every 10 years, and he kills 12 clergy, which is, of course, we associate with the 12 apostles that we know of, but there were more. But he kills 12 clergy, and then he disappears for 10 years. And he comes up with these very creative ways that he's basically stolen from, you know, the way that the apostles were killed. So that's why, you know, it's very intriguing. And then, of course, our protagonists are, you know, battling their own demons. Our cops who are chasing this demon, they have to battle their own demons and overcome their own demons before they can actually catch him or be in a position to catch him. So, it's, you know, it's very, very interesting, but it's not one of those gratuitously violent books. It actually is based on the whole purpose of him killing.
And you can follow Eric LaSalle at Eric LaSalle on Twitter. And Laws of Depravity is available all over the place on Amazon and all over the web and bookstores everywhere.
Yeah, the best place actually is to get it on Amazon because it's in select bookstores. So instead of people, you know, in some cities it's in one bookstore. So the easiest thing is just go to Amazon. People that want to, I'd love to be in touch with the fans. We have lawsofdepravity.com. They can, you know, hit me there. I respond. We talk about the book. I write short stories sometimes and leave them as, you know, free downloads as a thank you to the fans. So there are various ways. We have a Laws of Depravity Facebook page that we post all of the signings and appearances that I'm, you know, beginning to make. So I'm definitely, you know, I believe in that sort of interactive fan.
When we post the interview, we'll post it along with a link to your Facebook page, to your Twitter page, as well as to lawsofdepravity.com, so folks can keep in touch with you as well.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And it was a pleasure meeting you, Eric, and good luck with the book, and hopefully we can talk again when the next project comes up.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Take care. Last night that I know about because my wife is a medical professional, and that is the fact that if the cuts continue that are planned in Obamacare on Medicare, that half of the doctors in this country will not be taking those Medicare patients. So what are they going to do? Very good point. Very good point. No answer from the president, because it's a very tough one to answer.
Well, they wouldn't be forced to take patients?
They would not. They are not forced to take patients. And in fact, in Massachusetts, some of them don't take Medicare already because they've already lowered disbursements.
It's kind of against their creed to help people.
Well, yeah, they still can help people, but they don't have to take certain insurance types. You know?
They only help some people. Oh, I see.
No, I mean, that's just the way it is. You have to pay bills. So if you have overhead, you have to pay your bills, right?
Yeah.
And you can't pay your bills when you don't get enough reimbursement. And this is this was done without the...
Don't get enough reimbursement?
They don't. They don't.
And how much reimbursement is enough?
Well, for some surgeries that were getting $3,000, some surgeries that were getting $3,000, now the reimbursement is $160. You figure it out.
Their time is worth $3,000 and they're only getting $160?
Right. Right. That's why they're not going to see that. It's not going to happen.
No.
And what's going to happen is exactly what's being planned.
$3,000, yeah.
Have you actually read through Obamacare? I actually did.
It's 2,400 pages.
Yes, I actually read through it online. Pretty much
2,400 pages?
Most of it. 90% of it. And one of the things that struck me, and I've talked to a number of people, is...
You read 2,100 pages.
I read about 2,250 pages so far.
You read 2,250
pages? Yeah, around there. Somewhere around there.
Of the patient protection and...
Yes. Because I have a very interesting life. But that's another story.
I guess.
But one of the things that's throughout that bill is the creation and support of clinics throughout the country, health clinics. And that is really where the healthcare industry is going to go, and it's going to go toward clinics. You're going to see medical assistants and nursing practitioners rather than doctors, because you can't add 16 million people or 12 million people to the medical rolls and have as many doctors to cover them. So the Obama administration is planning to bring some in from other countries, but I don't think it's going to be enough. So,
well, don't you think that it would be better to take care of them, like preventive care, rather than having them clog up the emergency room?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have to do something. Can't let it go the way it's going now.
No. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's what's going on. I mean, there's nothing wrong with seeing a nurse practitioner or a medical assistant rather than clogging up an emergency room. Good idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah. But I just think that some Americans who are now seeing doctors are going to lose it. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And again, Will Durst, Kakariya. You can get his new book. It is at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, Hyperink and Red Room, and it's check it out. Thanks so much for coming on, Will.
Oh, thanks for reading a bill that even Nancy Pelosi didn't read.
Take care. Bye-bye.